I wonder what the vibe is down in Washington with the Capitals. Couldn't get out of the first round again for what is that, 4 years in a row since they won the Cup?
Yeah.
I don't think they get out of the first round. That must really be tough. Here's our buddy Steve Sands from NBC and the Golf Channel. I guess you did have a cup before all this playoff ineptitude, Sandsy, so you have that going for you.
Is it 1967? I forget.
Yeah, I guess I set you up for that.
Six in a row now?
Yeah.
Are they bringing Wendell Clark back? What are we doing? Ty Domi coming back up there in Toronto?
Yeah, possibly.
If you're going to give me the business, fellas, come on now.
I can't blame you.
Four straight first-round losses after winning the Stanley Cup. And of the four, the first one was the worst. They were up 3-1 on Carolina, just completely choked. The last two, COVID, whatever, nobody cares because it was such a bizarre deal. The bubble, the no fans, the whole thing. This year, with this team, playing Florida as an 8 seed and a 1, winning the first game, losing the second, coming back to D.C., winning game 3, up 2-1, and up 2-1 in game 4 with 2 minutes left when Florida pulled its goalie and had a very bad bounce and missed an open net by hitting the post. It would have been a 3-1 series lead. The Caps should have won that series 4-1, and they lost it 4-2. And I still, for the life of me, as disappointed as I am, as bummed as I am, for the life of me, I can't believe they lost that series. Just awful. But you guys, we give each other a lot of crap. I love you guys. And I love the Leafs, and I love hockey, and I love playoff hockey. They're so hard to eliminate Tampa Bay, as Florida found out again last night. Tampa Bay is just so damn tough, and Toronto should have won that series too, but they let Tampa Bay off the hook. And when you let a champ off the hook, no matter what the sport is, the champ is going to punch back, and they punch back, and it's such a shame. I was rooting for the Leafs big time.
Yeah, it hurt.
Yeah,
that one stung.
I agree. I mean, I get back to your Washington team. I think they've got to figure out in net. You know, that's the biggest thing. That's the only thing that I know everyone, the, you know, Backstrom situation and Ovi getting older, all of that type of stuff. But I like the team, like the spine of the team. I think they're battle tested. But I think they look in net. There's some uncertainty. And when it comes to the Leafs, we've been dissecting it all week here, Sanzi. And it's just, you know, you got a great team ran up against another great team, but you know, you can't have excuse after excuse. That's the biggest thing. And I don't know, you know, you're around golf, you're around a lot of sports. You know, if a guy continually can't get over the hump, you have to find a different way to get over there, and they just haven't been able to do it, unfortunately. And, you know, the fan base is frustrated here. There's no lying about that.
Oh, I bet. There's a couple things about that. It's a great point. And it pertains to sports, team sports like the NHL and hockey, and individual sports like golf and tennis. In golf, there's a saying in golf, at least I've said it, but there's a saying in golf that you can win a major championship and not be considered a great player. But you cannot be considered a great player unless you win a major championship. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And when a putter is hot for a player, it alleviates the pressure in the rest of his bag. All of a sudden, his driver's a little better. His iron plays a little better. His chipping and pitching, his bunker plays a little bit better because he knows that the pressure's alleviated because his putter is working so well. When a goalie is not strong, the team knows it. The defensemen especially know it. And they play defense. You play hockey differently when your goalie isn't strong. And look at the way the Lightning play with that goalie in net. I mean, just look at the way they play. Look at the confidence they have, knowing they have that backstop there. The Caps didn't have that. The Caps need to get a little younger with some of its other players. The core is great. I agree with you on that. They're not going to blow up the core, but they need to get a little younger. They need to get a little faster. But more importantly, they need to have a backstop back there, man. You got to have a great goalie to get through May and June. And in golf, if you want to circle back to golf, with the way that the Leafs went out again and how disappointing it is, Sergio Garcia was the best player in the world, and he finally won a major championship after declaring that he could never win one. He didn't have the chops to do it. He ended up winning at Augusta in 2017. There, Darren Clark did it at the Open Championship in 2011. After 25 years of coming close at majors, he finally hoisted the claret jug when he won at Royal St. George's in 2011. There are things in sports that should give the good folks up there in Toronto and everybody else who roots for the Leafs a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. I was texting back and forth with Sungjae Im's caddy, who listens to you guys religiously, Billy Smetchek. Billy was telling me he's just distraught, you know, at the loss, another first-round loss. At least we got ours in 2018, he was saying, and he's right. Yeah. But it only buys you so much time. But I think, man, with Austin, he's such a special player, and the team is good. They got to get over the hump. And yeah, I feel like it's like the Caps, guys. Maybe I'm wrong. You guys know more about this than me. But when the Caps got past the first round in 2018, they played the Penguins in the second round. It had been only the third time in Ovechkin's career he'd gotten past the first round. When they beat the Penguins in the second round to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, by the way, against Tampa Bay, when they got past Pittsburgh in the second round, I remember saying to my two brothers, we're going to win the Cups. First time I ever said that in my life. Because the pressure was alleviated. I feel like if the Leafs get past the first round, not even the second, if this group gets past the first round, they're going to go a long way. So they're too good. They just need to lift that pressure off their shoulders, and that's not easy to do in sports, man.
No, it's not. But I think you're onto something there, Sansy, for sure. We're chatting with Steve Sands, who's with the Golf Channel, NBC, and obviously big Caps fan, big DC sports fan. And I wonder if we can apply this and segue into golf with Rory McIlroy having to play well on Thursday at a major. Like, if he does that, which he did today, he's in the lead at 5-under, does that catapult him into another great weekend, which is what he's prone to do? Just a lot of times it's too little too late because he blows up his weekend on Thursday.
Yeah, that's a great point. McIlroy hasn't won a major, fellas, in 8 years.
Wow.
8 years. Imagine that. Rory McIlroy had four majors from 2011 to 2014, and now he hasn't won one in 8 years. He's let a lot of his prime slide away. However, that finish he had on Sunday at the Masters was magical, and I'm not just talking about the bunker shot he made at 18 when he was with Colin Morikawa. The round itself was magical. Now here he is the next month at the next major in the first round, which is the most difficult round for him for whatever reason, and he goes out and plays fabulous golf today. No one's getting to 5-under par this afternoon if the wind stays up. And I think that tomorrow is a massive day for Rory McIlroy. Massive. Here's why. The forecast tomorrow is supposed to call for some pretty high winds. Rory, famously, is a terrible, and I don't know why, he's terrible in relation to his other parts of his game in the wind. So he has to play tomorrow afternoon. He played early today. Tomorrow afternoon is his time slot, and most likely it's going to be in some pretty challenging wind. He played so well today, gave him a little bit of a cushion. If he can hang in there tomorrow, every single major championship that's been played at Southern Hills in Tulsa, every single one, seven previous, more than any other golf course in America, other than Augusta National, which hosts the Masters every year, Southern Hills has provided and produced more major championships than any other golf course in America. And every time, the 36-hole leader has gone on to win. How about that stat?
Wow.
Every time.
Wow.
So he's leading now. Eight of ten times they've been there. Seven of eight majors. And here we are at a major again, and Rory gets off to a great start today, which he needed to do. And tomorrow, he's just going to have to buckle it up and show what he's made of, because he's such a great player, such a great competitor. Tomorrow is a huge, huge day for Rory McIlroy.
So he tees off at 9:11, and about an hour earlier, John Daly is driving right down, hammering. I mean, he was 2-under through seven. What do you make of, you know, Daly with the cart driving up the middle between the green and even his look and just everything that John Daly brings to the table?
Well, first of all, if I wasn't 53 years of age, I would have thought that Santa Claus was teeing it up this morning when I saw John Daly. That's the first thing. Second of all, I was with John a couple of days ago in Tulsa. We were at a dinner together with a bunch of guys. And I said, John, you have a chance with this golf course? He said, zero, except for my experience. but I have zero chance of competing on this golf course. It's too much for me. I don't chip it and pitch it as well as I used to. I don't putt it as well as I used to. I don't hit it as far as I used to, that kind of stuff. And here he comes out this morning and plays well. I don't know whether it's a dream for the PGA of America and television and the audience for him to be in the mix on the weekend, or it's a nightmare to see someone in a golf cart, in a professional event, with that type of advantage over the other guys who are trying to walk, most notably a guy like Tiger, who's basically doing it on one and a half legs as opposed to two full ones. And it's great to see John play well. It was fun to spend some time with him a couple nights ago. You know, when you get the Miller Lights flowing and John Daly telling stories, that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Well, you mentioned Tiger, and he had a hot start. He birdies his first hole. At one point, he was two under through, I believe, five or six. And then the wheels fell off for him, and he ends up four over. And I think that takes him out of contention to win the tournament. Doesn't take him out of contention to make the cut. But I'm curious where you think his mental state will be at for the round tomorrow. Because with Augusta, he had a great Thursday. Held on for dear life on Friday, but made the cut. Now it would have to be reversed. He's got to go really low tomorrow. Do you think he's got it in him to do that?
I don't. I did not think he was going to make the cut going into the week. I know he's healthier, and I know he's stronger, and I know he's still Tiger Woods. But, guys, there's no substitute for tournament conditions, tournament golf, being in the fray, having the adrenaline flowing, and trying to perform. Now, I know he knows how to get that done. Clearly, he's the greatest player of his generation. It's been a while. He played those 4 days at Augusta, like you said, 78-78 on the weekend after he ran out of gas. He shot that 71, one under par 71 on day one, and looked decent. Didn't look great, looked decent. But what do you expect, you know, coming back from an accident like that in the condition that his leg is in? Here's the thing with Tiger. And did you guys watch the round this morning?
Yeah, I saw a little bit. I didn't see the whole thing.
All right, so you guys can observe things just like I can, just like anybody else can, all the audience who's listening right now. When he's playing well, he's got a little bit of a bounce in his step, and he's smiling, and he's talking, and he's having a good time. And then when he hits a couple of bad shots, and as the round wears on, it wears down his leg. It wears down his endurance. It wears down his psyche. You know, I hear this all the time from professional athletes. I never really thought it was true, but I guess it is. When you get physically tired, you then lose the concentration that also makes you a great performer at the highest level. And he putted worse than he's ever putted in his life on the weekend at Augusta National. And today you could see, after that fifth, sixth, seventh hole, you could just see him being tired.
Right.
You can almost feel it through the television. And I don't know how you get your endurance back at that level. I don't know how you get that chip on your shoulder that you used to have, the intimidation factor. I don't know how you get any of that back. He's 46 years old. He hasn't played a lot of tournament golf. He's played a lot of practice rounds at home. He's worked on his chipping and pitching and his putting. He's worked on his long game. He's working out. He's getting stronger. He's healthier. He's alive. He died in that accident, all the good things. But, man, when you put the peg in the ground against the best players in the world, by the way, he's playing in majors only. Maybe he plays in the Memorial in a couple weeks. But when you play in major championships, guys, you're talking about playing in the most difficult conditions, the most difficult golf courses against the best fields in the world. It's almost like you'd be better off if you went to Hilton Head and played at the RBC Heritage, or went up to, you know, Hamilton and played in the RBC Canadian, you know, as opposed to playing in the majors to start this comeback. And it's a really tough spot for Tiger. I think tomorrow's going to be a difficult day as well. I don't think it's going to be anything ridiculous. I just think he's going to kind of do what he did today. Have a few birdies, have some bogeys, have some great shots, have some bad shots. Next thing you know, you look up, he's a little bit over par, and he probably will miss the cut, which is, you know, it's a shame, but he's working his way back into it, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yep, we certainly will. We certainly will.
I was going to ask what's the feeling about not having defending champion Phil there?
Whew, man, it was rough on Monday and Tuesday. I think once yesterday it came and everybody had already talked about it and everybody had already been asked about it, by the time we got to last night, we were done. And now it's about the tournament. Now it's about Tiger. It's about Rory. It's about all the players trying to win a Watermaker Trophy at Southern Hills. It's about the golf course. It's about the town of Tulsa, the whole thing. Look, he's missed. He's missed big time. He's an iconic player, top 10 player of all time. Wasn't a random guy winning the PGA last year. It was Phil Mickelson. He became the oldest winner of any major championship in the history of the sport. You can make a strong case that his accomplishment last year at Kiawah Island was the greatest sports feat in North America in 2021. You could make a case for that. And now here he is, unable to receive the adulation and the love that a defending champion gets, especially when you're a legend like Phil, especially when you are defending that particular major championship. It's a sad situation. The players will welcome him back. You know, it'll be really interesting to see how the tour and the PGA of America and the USGA and the RNA and all these other organizations, what they decide to do. But the players will welcome him back, and the fans will welcome him back. You know, it's not like Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, who didn't have a chance. Roger spent a lot of time in Toronto with you guys. Yep. Roger and Barry, they retired and just took the bullets from everybody. They didn't have a chance to strike people out, win Cy Youngs, win another World Series, hit home runs, do things that Barry and Roger did. They were retired, and they were just taken to the woodshed by the media and by fans. Tiger, on the other hand, other players who have gone through personal, you know, issues and also injuries and comebacks, when you play your way through it in professional sports, we're a forgiving society. United States, Canada, most people are very forgiving, and they love seeing people perform at a high level. And Tiger is more beloved now than he's ever been before. Even after all the things that have gone in his life, he's more popular now than ever before. And if Phil would come back and play, I think it would do him some good. Take the bullets from the writers and the media and answer the questions. Be contrite, be honest, and just get it over with. Go play, and then you're done. But he's choosing to stay away. The PGA of America wanted him to play, you know? It's not like anybody doesn't want him to play. He's choosing to stay away, and I think the longer he stays away, the worse off that entrance is going to be. That on-ramp is getting smaller and smaller, I think.
Yeah, it's – well, I guess we'll see him over in London in a month. I don't even know.
Oh, man. Now, if he does that, fellas, that's going to change the narrative quite a bit because – sorry, a plane's going over by. If he plays in that London event, you could very well never see him play a PGA Tour event ever again.
Right.
Because the PGA Tour might ban him. And if they do, that's their prerogative, and he knows that. Can you imagine Phil Mickelson? Phil Mickelson. We're not talking about some run-of-the-mill guy here. We're talking about a guy who's a top 10 player of all time, a six-time major champion, a World Golf Hall of Fame member, a guy who moves the needle, the second most popular and second greatest player of his generation. If he goes and plays in that event on June 9th outside of London for LIV Golf, I don't think we'll ever see him again at a PGA Tour event, and he needs to decide what he wants to do. That win last year, all those wins he had in his career, that makes him a lifetime member of the PGA Tour. He will never play a PGA Tour event again if he plays in the LIV Golf event, I don't think. I think they'll suspend him and suspend him forever.
Wow. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's, but who knows?
We don't know yet. But it's a fascinating decision what he and those other guys are going to do.
It sure does. Sanzi, it's always great to catch up with you. Thank you for doing this, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Are we thinking Colorado?
Yeah, I think we're thinking Colorado, right, Noodles? I mean, we're thinking Colorado.
Colorado, Tampa Bay, Colorado, Carolina?
You're one of those two, I would
guess.
It's
got to be. I mean, they're very strong, but I mean, I just, the two things that you brought up, like, I don't see Vasilevsky, especially out east, a team beating him four times with how well he's playing. But then Colorado has played in a different league all year. I really feel like they're just been, they look unbeatable. Now, something could change. That's why you play the games, an injury inconsistently, all of that. But just if Colorado's healthy and playing their game, they look unbeatable. They do.
Yeah, I agree. I think Colorado looks really, really good.
Oof. Yeah. Well, we'll find out soon. Sooner than later, buddy. Thank you for doing this.
Of course, anytime.
Steve Sands, our buddy from the Golf Channel on NBC. And this golf report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Whatever the weather throws your way, you're covered in a new Subaru with uncommon capability and symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive.